Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Touchdown, Washington! What a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
So Grant Paulson made some news saying that Jaden Daniels was having an MRI after the game against the Green Bay Packers.
Well, that's anytime you hear MRI, you just get scared.
Yes. Right?
Because obviously they think it's enough that's worthy of an exam.
Has Cake still never had an MRI?
Temple's never had an MRI.
It's unbelievable.
I'm remarkably healthy. You guys
that's
have
good.
Weak connective tissue or whatever's going on over there. This Temple, never been in a... thing that makes it all the noise. Well, never been in
they're
one.
A pain in the butt.
I know.
They are. They're very uncomfortable.
Jaden Daniels against the Green Bay Packers was sacked four times. They have quarterback hits listed at 12. Mm-hmm. And he ran the ball seven times for 17 yards. Now, he might have run out of bounds once or twice, but he was hit
more than 15 times. I tried to block out the game, but I do remember a couple instances of him getting up and kind of limping back to the huddle, kind of gathering himself. You could tell.
Yeah, especially
he
late
took
in the
a
game.
Shot or two.
He took a shot to one time.
Took a shot to the lower leg late in the game.
Yeah.
And he was definitely.
That's probably where it happened.
He was grimacing and he was limping around a little bit.
Yeah.
What would kinda you
scary.
Do with Jaden Daniels if there is not something that's torn, but his injury is banged up? Do you play it super safe?
I think they're going to play it just like they played it last year. He had a freaking broken rib and they just didn't really talk about it,
yeah.
And they just wrapped him up.
Yeah. If he feels like
that's
he can
what they
play
do in the NFL.
And he can play at 80-plus percent, you got to put him out there.
1-800-636-1067, if you want to chime in. Dan Quinn will address this. I'm sure the team didn't want it coming out that he was having an MRI. They wanted to keep it quiet. But
good on Grant for finding that out.
Yep. Super sleuth, Grant Paulson.
He will address it, but if he's banged up and not 100%, would you rather him be on the sidelines for week three, or would you play him?
I would play him.
I just have to trust them.
There's a lot of people that still have that scar tissue from the RG3.
Well, they're going
to
have
Jaden
to get over
says
that.
I can go, coach, you got to play him.
I mean, that was over a decade ago. You're going to have to get over the Robert stuff.
The Robert stuff was weird, too, because you had, like, a comatose Dr. Andrews, like, faking some sort of examination on the sideline, like, barely looking at him
and throwing
him back out there.
What if he has, you know, a minor tear. MCL deal?
Yeah. Anything that they say, if it's, like, a grade one or something,
like
it's going to be a tear. A sprain is a tear.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
So, I don't know.
He's got to play. I can't
because sometimes one thing leads to the next, right?
I can't put Marcus Mariota out in week three. Unless, obviously, it's something where he needs to be sidelined. And we haven't heard any reports that indicate that. So I'm just going to guess that he's good to go for Sunday at this point.
Well,
Unless you hear something from Dan Quinn today. Let's hear Dan later today.
Yeah, but the good news is the leaks are that it's concerning, but shouldn't be anything
that
too
just
serious.
Day to day.
That it might just be a sore knee.
Yeah, I mean, if they see something on the MRI, I think I'm not a doctor, obviously, but I think the only thing you could see would be a tear, right? What can you see?
Yeah, like a sprain. You should be able to indicate a sprain.
I think
on
that's
an MRI.
Why they're having
but that's
MRI.
Like the only thing you could see. Like,
isn't that why they're having it to see if it's torn?
If you say there's something concerning, the only thing concerning that I would know of would be some sort of like micro tear or something. You see a little something.
If it's not torn, then you know he's had the whole weekend. But he'll have maybe Monday, Tuesday. Who knows? Maybe he has a little walkthrough on Wednesday to get prepared for next week. But apparently if it's not torn.
What
it's
else
fine.
Could you see?
You can see, according
swelling
to this,
or?
Says you can see fluid accumulation.
Okay, so they can
see the
that.
Overall joint structure.
Right.
Bone abnormalities, cartilage damage, and soft tissue injuries.
So they'll say that the structure looks good. Maybe there's a little fluid buildup in there. Get rid of that.
Coach Quinn is going to say, we did an MRI out of an abundance of caution,
yeah.
A precautionary measure. There's nothing to panic about.
Right.
Nothing to worry
about.
What
time is he having his presser today?
Usually it's like 10:30 or 11, I want to say.
Okay.
Somewhere around there.
But I think if it was something serious, it would have leaked out.
Oh, yeah. You would know it by now. If he had, like, God forbid, a torn ACL or PCL, MCL, whatever, you would know it by now. You can't keep that something that big a secret.
I mean, he's going to get hurt at some point. He just is. I mean, that's quarterbacks get hurt.
Did they say
Burrow's been out 3 times. He's going to miss pretty much the entire year. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks get hurt.
By the way, if he's 80%, I don't play him.
Oh, I'm
it's too early in the season.
What do you think?
I'd play the long game. None of us are doctors. I'm the opposite of cakes. I've had so many MRIs, whether it's shoulders or knees. But if I would just be worried that one thing can lead to the next, because it often happens. I wouldn't want him playing on a weak knee. I'd want it very close to 100%. 80% is not close enough for me.
Well, it might not
like
be 100%
if a guy,
for weeks.
Let's put it this way, guy. If a guy has an ACL mm-hmm. tear and they come back, you don't put them back on the field when they're 80%. You put them back on the field when they're 100%.
Well,
I'm not saying he has
different.
To be 100%.
That's totally different.
Depending on what the diagnosis is, I'm comfortable with Mariota.
In my world, 80%, you're borderline acing a test. It's pretty close to crushing a test. You're going out
it's
there.
Pretty close to a C.
I'm
as
basing
well.
It on whatever he tells the coaches. If he tells DQ and Kingsbury, I can go. I feel good. I can go.
Well, he's always going to tell
them
that.
Oh, I'm not going to do that on that.
Yeah.
I'm going to see what he can. So I'm going to look at the MRI.
Well, yeah, of course.
And then I'm going to see him move around.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll do
that. And
I'm
going to see if he could do the stuff he normally can do.
And if he can, I'm going with him.
You have to protect your players at times.
Yeah, because they'll just say I can go regardless. But
if he can't move around, I don't want him on the field against Max Crosby.
I'm sure he can. Especially if there's fluid in there. They'll just get rid of that fluid. That's no biggie.
Well, we'll see about that.
Just you want it to be structurally intact, which I'm sure it is, because the way the leak is that, like J.P. Finley said, that there's some concern, but nothing serious.
1-800-636-1067 if you want to chime
intact,
in.
I would think.
If it's intact and he still has a little pain, are you playing him?
Yes.
I am playing him.
Yes.
Six Advil. Take six Advil. Not a problem.
Six is a lot. I'd go with four.
Mm. Yeah, but
what did your son say? You actually consulted your doctor, who's
he said you need
your son.
You need to take this is not
like
a technical 100. Term an S-ton to really do damage, or to cause toxicity to your liver.
Yeah,
so maybe you could get away with five.
Listen,
or six.
I'm not recommending it. My son took six before every game his last 2 years.
Mm. That's a lot.
This is how he had to get through pain, bone on bone stuff. So
but,
I'm sure,
but
it's
not
bad.
Good that your quarterback is having an MRI in week two. Not
no,
good.
It's not great.
Precautionary.
It's not optimal.
Let's
but
hope.
I'll tell you, Nikki tweeted a sequence.
Nikki Javala from The Athletic.
Where this could be, nobody knows, but this is one instance where he did come up hobbling a little bit, where it almost looks like a hip drop tackle. And it doesn't look great. But he, you know, he continues on, obviously. He finished the game. You could check that out if you follow her on Twitter.
Do you think there's a possibility that he is injured and that they're going to announce it?
Oh, like a serious injury? Like he'll be out 4 to 6 weeks?
Yeah.
It's possible, but I think it would have leaked by now.
Well, 1%.
They're pretty tight-lipped about everything.
They are, but then you have J.P. Finley, who I don't think would say it unless he had heard something legit, right? You have Jay Glazer, both those reporting, and I think even Grant. that it's not serious.
I think it could be. Look, yeah, I would say it's a low percentage, but it could be something like a minor meniscal tear, where oftentimes the timeline is 2 to 4 weeks. But there have been NFL players that have played on a small meniscus tear the next week.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the severe as out for the season. I'm saying like
no, it could no, be dude, like if he's missing 2 to 4 weeks, that's severe. That's pretty severe. Like could be end of season stuff. Like I don't think we could afford. If we lost Jaden Daniels for 4 weeks, season's over.
But this is just speculation. Mariota so ain't that what good. I'm saying is you can have a meniscus tear, a small meniscus tear, which they will just shave down, and you could have that procedure and be running within a week.
I definitely think that's a possibility.
You remember the little returner? I think he did an MRI shave and he played the next week.
Right. So I'm saying it's possible.
Guy? What was it, Banks? What was the kid's name?
Brandon Banks?
Yeah, maybe. I can't remember the name. I think that's right.
Sounds right.
I think he had like a little shave and he played like literally later that week.
Mm. Could be breaking news today.
Well,
if he's missing any games, to me, it's major. Well, even if he misses two games, it's major. Major.
The reporters are all sleuths, but the organization is pretty tight-lipped.
They are. But if like, it's not, but if they're, but you couldn't, if it's not that big a deal to them, they're like, yeah, we did an MRI. It's not that, you know, like, why would they feel like they had to be tight-lipped about it? They're like, yeah, we did it, but it's not that big a deal.
If they do announce something that we're not expecting, we should probably dress in black tomorrow. Like we're coming to a funeral. Kind of the way Mike Morris dressed today.
If it's a bad injury.
If he's going to miss even two games, it's catastrophic.
They could split those two, though.
We've started out terribly. Offense blows. Let's be honest. So far, the offense blows.
It wouldn't be good, but they could still split those two.
And now you're going to start Marcus Mariota for two games and think that's going to jumpstart
it? He delivered last year.
The upside.
Whatever.
Here's the upside. If you start
Marcus Mariota.
He is, and he's limited, but if you start him over the next two games, both revenge games against the Raiders and the Falcons, the teams he's played for. Just part of the narrative. Mm. Just keep that in mind.
Eric, it's not good if you're starting your backup.
No. Yeah.
But backups can win.
In the first month of the season?
They can win,
we saw it a couple times yesterday.
I would, in my brain, write off the season.
Just for two games,
I would. For two games with Mariota.
I would.
Because even with the Hall of Famer, our offense
four to six,
has looked horrific.
Okay. 4-6, season over.
We're getting way ahead of ourselves.
This
is what we do.
Yeah. He's a glorified bum, Mariota.
Well, last year he completed almost 80% of his passes, 4 touchdowns, no picks for Washington.
Okay. You went on a heater.
He delivered.
You know, every once in a while, I'll birdie like 2 or 3 holes out of 5. Okay, and the rest of the 9 is a poop show. Okay, well,
yeah,
he just went on a heater.
That's Mario all you care about.
The rest of the 9.
Yeah.
All you care about is birdieing a couple holes here and there. That's what Mariota has to do.
Survive in advance.
Just play your like we did yesterday. Just play your best for those two games.
All right, let's go to. I mean, I don't want to disparage him. He seems like a really decent guy.
Very nice guy.
But he's a great dude.
End of the day, he's NFL bum. Let's go to.
I'd say he's high. He's a notch higher than NFL bum.
Right.
Again, he got in.
But not much higher.
He got into two games pretty significantly against Carolina, 18 for 23, 205 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Terrific.
And then against Dallas, 15 for 18, 161.
That was like the miracle.
2 touchdowns.
That was like, you know, that bought him 5 years in the league. Let's go to Dave. Dave, what's up?
I mean, 4 touchdowns in less than 2 games is pretty good.
What's up, man?
What's up, fellas? What's up, I'm with JP, man. You can't play RG. I mean, you can't play JD5, even if it's for 4 weeks. I mean, that's what we did to RG3. You put him in too soon. You know, and I think Mariota's a more confident backup. I mean, he got us a win against Dallas last year when JD5 was out. So, I mean, he's our franchise. You can't throw that man back in that fast.
If he's not 100%, look, if he's close to 100%, I'd play him. But if he's not... If he's at 80%, which is Cakes' number.
That's my number.
I can't play him. I got to keep him in bubble wrap. Play the long game. And I think you can win with Mariota.
I mean, you could steal a game
you can get a one-outer with Mariota.
We've been terrible so far with our Hall of Famer. We need the Hall of Famer to get this thing going. Mariota's not going to jumpstart the offense. I don't think. Let's go to Philip, Silver Springs. Philip, what's up, buddy?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Philip.
Good.
I think we need to start Mariota a little bit, but he has Achilles tendonitis that he's recovering from. That can flare up very easily. So it's a precarious situation. I thought Kingsbury and Quinn should have pulled Jaden when that game was over. That scoreboard was never as close as it was. They kept putting him back there, drop back pass. They set him up for injury.
But it was 17-10 in the fourth quarter. It was early in the fourth quarter. We all know that they were being dominated, but from a coach's perspective, they were within a score. So you're not pulling Jaden Daniels in the fourth quarter of a one-score game. Of course
not. You'd be a horrible coach,
my friend. And by the way, 14 points isn't that big of a deficit in the NFL anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Chuck in College Park. Chuck, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Bishbucks, I'm disappointed in you. You're not using all your information.
Whatever.
The line came out at -5.5 and hasn't moved. Vegas knows this stuff before they put lines out. They're not going to let a press conference the day after influence what they put out last night.
Oh, I didn't see the
it's 5.5. And
I didn't see the number.
State of 5.5.
Well, hold on. Is that true? I mean, I guess they would just hold the line. They just wouldn't put the line out if they thought there was some concern.
If they were really concerned about Jaden Daniels, he's a line mover. They would not have a line published.
Or they wouldn't have a line.
It's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I'm buying the
5.5.
I'm buying JP, Grant, and Glazer all kind of saying the same thing. And that Dr. Chow, whatever, always chimes in on injuries, that it's not serious.
Yeah.
I'm buying that.
If it were serious, we would have heard something.
I think
by
it would have leaked.
There would be a leak somewhere.
I don't think this is true, but what if he had the MRI on his wrist? Isn't that what he had injured going into the Packers game?
Yes, he was on the injury report.
It was very minor. Not buying that.
Yeah, but by the end of the week, he was off the injury report for the wrist, I believe.
And you're just throwing it out there as a possibility.
They stuck.
No, you're not limping around.
They stuck that skinny
because of a
quarterback
wrist injury
in a tube for the knee, not his wrist.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. All right, 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. What would you do if there is some sort of injury? Would you sit Jaden or would you play him? Last year, they played him through a freaking broken rib.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
106.7 The Fan. There's going to be a ton of conversation about Jaden Daniels' knee this weekend.
Yeah.
This week. And B had a really good idea. He's like, why don't we try to talk to a doc?
Yeah, somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Right. Like, what's actually happening
here?
The
speculations.
And my friend Cisco, B, you know Doc Espinel, was able to put me in touch with Dr. Carter Mitchell, who's an orthopedic surgeon.
Man, must be a great doctor, last name Mitchell.
Yeah, it probably is.
Dr. Mitchell.
MedStar Health. Dr. Mitchell is a sports medicine expert. That's what he does over at Georgetown University.
All right.
Worked with the Nats, worked with DC United, worked with the Alabama Crimson Tide. Dr. Mitchell, how you doing, man?
I am fantastic, JP. Thank you so much for having me on. B-Mitch, how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic, man. I saw your last name yesterday. I said, cool, they got a real guy on the show.
So B wanted to get you on, you know, pretty much the way the NFL works, but certainly the way Dan Quinn works, is we get as little information as possible. But they did say there was an MRI, there's a knee sprain, and it's all day-to-day. When you hear that, and I believe you watched the games, like, what did you see? What do you think, Doc?
Well, you know, this is the NHL version of the lower extremity injury. Knee sprains are, there are lots of different types of knee sprains. Yep. Really, it depends on the ligament that is involved. So, you know, ligaments are these collagen fibers that connect bone to bone. You've got four of them. You have your MCL on the inside of the knee, the lateral collateral ligament on the outside, and of course, we all hear about the ACL and PCL in the center of the knee. So when they're talking about a knee sprain, we don't know what ligament it is. You know, all we know is that they got an MRI. It probably showed some fluid in the in one of those ligaments or in the knee somewhere. You know, so it's pretty vague right now. And so, you know, when I was watching the game, the tackle looked like he landed with JD landed with his knee flexed and his toe pointing. So with that type of injury, and I, once again, I haven't taken, I'm not taking care of Jaden at all and don't know anything with any of the specifics of the injury, but that you do worry a little bit about the PCL with that type of mechanism.
That was, I think, some word out there about an LCL.
Mm-hmm.
And like for me, whenever I hear sprain, you know what I think? I instantly think small tear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, they, the sprain word makes people say, okay, if you hear tear, they lose their mind. Mm-hmm. Is most sprains like a slight tear?
That's a good question. So there are three types of sprains. There is grade one, which basically, if you're looking at the ligament, it looks normal, but microscopically, the fibers are torn there. Grade two is if you're looking at the ligament, it's partially torn, but some fibers are intact. And a grade three is a complete tear of the ligament. So, you know, I would anticipate if the Yez said sprain, it'd probably be, you know, grade one, grade two. But, of course, they don't want to let anyone know what exactly is going on there.
So when Dan Quinn yesterday kind of tries to explain the situation, we are talking with our friend Dr. Carter Mitchell here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. Dr. Mitchell is an orthopedic surgeon in sports medicine, has worked with a number of professional sports teams. We're trying to just get some information as far as Jaden Daniels for this week. So DQ yesterday says he's truly day-to-day. We're going to run through all the markers. That's one thing Dan Quinn says a lot, is that you got to hit all the markers. If you're the medical team with Jaden, what would some of those markers be? What do you want to see him do before you clear him to play?
You know, in the short term, JP, you want to see the swelling go down, obviously. You want to see the muscles start to function again. Whenever you injure a joint, you're going to get inhibition of the muscles, meaning that they're not firing. And so we want to get those muscles firing again. We want to get the swelling down, and, of course, the range of motion should return. Now, at the level with the Commanders, they've been using catapult systems with all of their athletes. So they have great baseline data on how fast each person runs, how they accelerate, how they decelerate. So what we can do now is use that data and have, you know, an athlete go through those same motions and see, you know, when compared to his baseline, can he run, can he cut, what's his acceleration at? So it gives us one more data point to see where he is in his recovery. Obviously, psychologically, this is very important. He needs to be comfortable and confident in his knee, and he's going to be able to have to do football moves, cuts, throws, plants. So, you know, we're going to use, I'm sure they're going to use all the data at their fingertips to get him back on the field as soon, but also as safely as possible.
You know, Doc, we as laymen, we out here, we look at the player and we normally compare what they do to what we do. And the average person is nowhere close to an athlete. You work with different people, I'm sure, with normal people and also athletic, the people that are athletes. What's the difference in one of those guys having that same injury and the time that they will get back out there and be able to do what they do?
Mitch, that's a great point. Working with this level of athlete, I think they really are genetically gifted and also psychologically gifted. These are all athletes at this level have a tremendous, you know, physical gifts, but also psychological gifts to determination to get back on the field. And so I think when in my dealings with the higher professional athletes, yes, genetically they, for some reason, they do heal a little bit faster and they're able to tolerate some of the work that we put them through better. But I think it's both biological and psychological at this level.
So, Doc, with that, one thing I've learned just being in locker rooms for you know, over a decade now, and B has said this as a player, is like, I think a lot of fans have this notion of like, oh, just rest him, like give him 3 weeks off. Players aren't wired like that.
Won't rest anyway.
No. How do you balance when you've had to instruct your, what's the word, clients, patients?
Patients.
Athletes, sure. Like, I mean, you're in this. You've done the Nats. You've done Bama. You've done pro sports. Like, what, if any, advice do you give, or do you just give the medical opinion?
I think it's usually a team decision. Obviously, you've got to talk to the athlete and see where they are. You know, we want to protect them as much as possible, but also have them feel comfortable that they are ready to go. So, you know, I think you really don't have confidence until you can actually perform the moves, the cuts, the acceleration. So what we want to do from the training staff, and it is a lot of people, it is not just the physician, it's the strength coach, it's the athletic training staff, and they've got wonderful people there to help with this. But we want to prove to the athlete that they can do what they expect and to have that athletic arrogance return to them. So, you know, sometimes we do need to hold them back, but it's a joint decision.
Don't you have some of them, you go in and you wonder, like, damn, did they not know that they were hurt?
Yeah.
I don't know that you can have one, right? But like, in your professional opinion, do you think it's likely, unlikely? Is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea if Jaden goes this weekend?
I really pause it. I don't want to talk about a patient I haven't seen before.
Sure.
You know, I've been this long enough. That makes you look a little foolish down the road. But I do know is that they have a tremendous staff there. I know some of the doctors who are on that staff, and they're gonna be as protective of Jaden as they possibly can be, and get him ready to play as soon as they possibly can be. So, you know, hopefully we'll keep our fingers crossed that he can get back on the field soon, because we all love watching him play.
Yeah. I've been in it, and I see where guys know where they can go, mm-hmm. and a lot of people don't. And I think when we start making our opinions based off of what we know, we are putting ourselves at a disservice, because we might be able to say, oh, I could push myself to the limit. That guy may go 25,000 times past what you think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you see athletes get on the field. And I don't think it's anything about trying to be tough. I just think that it is what you know you can do, and you go and you do it.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, you have decades of experience in this situation, and there's also always other issues that the public don't know about that may affect certain injuries. That may be more vague out in the media. So, I'm sure they're going to keep an eye on him. I'm sure they're going to get him back as soon as they possibly can. So I'm looking forward to that day.
Doc, last one from me. Whatever this injury is, knee sprain, if it's a micro tear, you said a lot of words that I understand some of them. I think what fans' biggest concern is, like, does playing him make him more likely to become injured again or let this get worse? How do you measure that or mitigate that?
Stop playing football.
So sometimes you can mitigate that with braces, but I think that the biggest thing is, can he move like he wants to move? Because he expects for him to have a certain ability to cut, to get away from players. If that ability is not up to what he's expecting, then that may put him in a bad situation. So
yeah.
That's where the technical data can help with where we are in this day and age. And
sometimes the knee brace could be a hindrance too. Like, I remember I had one in high school. Mm-hmm. I had a knee surgery, and I had, when they put me back out, they put me with a knee brace on. I never felt comfortable because I had the knee brace on, and in my mind, I knew something was wrong. Mm-hmm. The moment I took the knee brace off and they just taped it, I was able to freely move how I wanted to move because I didn't feel like I had something holding me back, or that I didn't have that luxury of having something to help me out. So now I had to depend on what I had, and I was able to go better without the knee brace than I was with the knee brace.
They are restrictive as well, and also other people start to target those braces, so you got to be careful with that to a certain
Well,
degree.
I noticed that the people in the NFL are targeting quarterbacks low. Look at the mm-hmm. look at the games from yesterday.
Doc, do you expect Jaden, if he is out there, to have a big old brace on Sunday?
I don't believe so. I think they if they felt like he needed a brace, and a lot of it depends on what type of ligament actually was sprained. So, you know, if it's one that can be braced effectively, like the medial collateral ligament, then yes, something like a PCL or an ACL where it controls rotation of the knee, braces are not quite as effective. So we may have a better idea what's going on depending on what they put him in afterwards.
Last thing, I wrote a note here. You mentioned catapult systems, and that's how they track the data. Is that little sports bra thing they all wear?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. That is the wearable sensors, and they are built into the shoulder pads as well. And that's invaluable information for how they run.
Tight undershirt, JP.
That's cool. I never knew what it was called. Catapult system is way cooler than sports bra, too.
Tight undershirt.
Doc, really appreciate this. I'm going to say this two ways.
Appreciate you.
Sincerely appreciated your time. Hope we don't have to have you on again.
Absolutely. I'm a big sports fan. I do not want to have the people in our office. So you guys have a great rest of the day, okay?
Thanks all right, a lot.
Doc, take care, man.
That is Dr. Carter Mitchell.
I'm calling cuz from now. What's up, cuz?
All right, cuz. Orthopedic surgeon, sports medicine, Georgetown Hospital. Thank you very much to Dr. Mitchell for making some time for us. Whew. All right, I think I feel better after hearing from the doctor.
Yeah, the reason I said it yesterday is because I'm like, I know everybody's going to have an opinion. And one thing about today, everybody has an opinion and people begin to run with those opinions. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. So I said, let's get somebody that know what they're talking about and at least we can help somebody out. As I said, beginning of this show, when we started it, we are not only bring information, we try to educate. And I hope he helped educate some people.
I am here to educate you about Paul Henry's window installation. Working with Paul has changed my house. I sat and watched football in my porch last night. You know what I was able to do these nice, cool fall nights? Open the screen doors, open the windows, had the ceiling fan going. It was perfect out there. Working with Paul Henry has dramatically changed my home, my family's lives for the better. New windows, new doors. House stays nice and cool in the summer, nice and warm in the winter. We used to have janky-ass windows. The winter was terrible because it was freezing. I had to put extra blankets in my daughter's rooms. Not no mo. Call Paul now and you can get 10% off each window with a 5-window minimum and 10% off each door at Paul Henry's window installation.
Well, everyone knows I've talked about Paul doing my windows and doors, and he did a terrific job with that. He basically put new windows in every aspect of my house, came back and changed up all the doors. And now Paul, he gave me a nice pergola. And JP talks about being outside watching it. I have this plan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Now, after he finished up the pergola, he changed up the inside, put a lot of lights, going to hang me two TVs out there. I like to sit outside a lot. There's some days in the fall where you'd rather be outside than sitting inside, and Paul has enabled that for me. They do a great job when they come in, and they don't overcharge it. So you can reach out to Paul right now. If you're looking for windows and doors, reach out to him. You get 10% off each window with a 5-window minimum and 10% off each door. Contact Paul Henry's Window Installation today and tell him B. Mitchell Finley sent you. PaulHenry'sWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice.
Let's get to the phones. 800-636-1067. We're asking people about the big news here. A sprained knee is the diagnosis for Jaden Daniels via Ian Rappaport. And he is reporting what we've been hearing and what we started speculating and talking about on Friday, which was that it's a real possibility he's going to miss time. Status for this weekend in doubt. I would bet that he doesn't play based on everything that I've heard. And I'm not convinced about the week after that, although certainly hopeful.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is, again, I haven't
not a doctor. I haven't done any medical examinations. I just know, I remember from knee stuff before, you know who, this needs to be more careful than they were last year with that rib. And again, the rib is not what a knee is. I understand that. It's tremendously different. This is one of those central focal point type body parts that you actually absolutely have to have operating at almost 100% in order to be yourself. You can get away with rib pain. It hurts. It's miserable. It's awful. But painkillers don't fix a knee that isn't working right, if that makes any sense. So they need to be really smart here. And I actually have some confidence that they will be.
Let's go to Weiss and Chantilly on Grant and Danny on the Fan. How are you? Thanks for the call.
I'm good, man. How you fellas doing today?
Good, buddy.
Very well.
Awesome, man. Yeah, like I said, like I've been listening to you guys, we should hold them off for the Raiders. Possibility of even holding them off to against Atlanta. I feel like our team is strong enough to beat those two. He needs to come back with the Chargers because that's going to be a tough game to play against right there.
Yes, well said. I mean, so a couple of things. One, interesting storyline. Sports are so funny. Sports are so amazing. But the next two games starting this weekend at home against the Raiders are against the last two teams Marcus Mariota's played for.
Isn't that wild?
Mariota's going to get a starting opportunity.
The Mariota tour.
Presumably against the Raiders first, where he came in and played a bunch for them as a backup quarterback. But then is Atlanta, remember, he was their starter. Last time he was a starter.
That's right.
He didn't get booted off the team. He basically walked out and quit in the middle of that Netflix series where it turned out he'd had a baby, but I mean, his name around the league was dragged through the mud for weeks after that. And then you get a little more information. It doesn't look quite as bad. I still think, based on the information we have, it was not a good thing to do.
No, I would hope that if you asked him now, you'd say, yeah, I kind of regret the way that I acted. But it hasn't come up, and he's been wonderful here, and that's really what we care about more.
But isn't that amazing? There are 31 other teams in the league outside of D.C., and the two they play in the next 2 weeks are the Mariota revenge games. I mean, if they had the Titans after that, it would be even funnier who made him the number two overall pick. But, yeah, my eyes are on this one this weekend, and it just seems like that's the trend here, that they've got a plan, and that plan is, at least initially, not going to include getting him ready for this game. Now, could he play? This is why I didn't want to go hard in the paint. They don't really know. I mean, when you're dealing with a really young guy who's desperate to stay on the field, which he is by all accounts, and you have all of the modern medicines and the ability to maybe overcome and to heal fast, then if you're willing to play him at 75-80%, maybe he's just going to stay in the pocket and be a pocket passer. I just think, A, that's a terrible idea, and B, I don't think it's realistic. I think this is a situation where you're going to have to miss a game. And on the other side of this, you kind of figure things out going into Atlanta. Let's go to Leon in Gaithersburg. What's up, Leon?
Afternoon, gentlemen. Grant, Danny. Yeah, you gotta sit him. And I think they will, just because of everything everybody said right up until this point. The knee is such a... shoulders, ankles, knees. You got ligaments, you got tendons in there. My wife just sprained her ankle. She's a tennis coach. Sprained one. She had micro tears, stretching. You know,
yep.
She was out of work for 2-3 weeks, decided to come back early because she felt better, and re-aggravated it. So now she needs a doctor's notice to get back.
Right, it's not a toughness thing, to your point. Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, dude, and hope she's better. It's not one of those things where it's like, it's about getting through it. No, it's not. This is one of those that you're going to stand, right? Like, you can get away with favoring certain parts of your body. Like, if your, you know, non-throwing shoulder is bothering you a little bit, or, you know, you got like a forearm thing, you can sort of wrap that, or a fingers on your opposite hand, whatever. You're going to stand, plant, run, cut, jump, stop, start, everything on that knee. Even throwing the football is a mechanic that basically starts from the legs down. And if it's not right, then you're not right. It's not about gutting through something, whereas I think a rib is.
Let's go to Kent in Maryland. Hopefully on Kent Island.
Kent Island would be great.
Yeah. Where are you at, Kent? Oh.
Is that right?
It's a good location.
Is that right by... is it north of...
Kent, are you there, buddy? You will get nothing, and you will like it. Let's go to Bargov in Gaithersburg on the Fan. Bargov, Jaden Daniels dealing with a sprained knee. What do you think?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Yeah, I say we pull a 2012 Kyle Shanahan and run him on some high school options 20 times a game. That sounds real smart.
Just to see.
Heck no. You know, we sent him out like you guys said. Look, we got a pro vet like Mariota. I mean, we have a decent shot of winning a couple of games without him if need be. I kind of liken this to the first night of a bachelor party. You know, it's like 1:15 a.m. You've already hit up three bars. You're probably like 10, 12 dudes deep. Could you hit up another bar and keep it going? Sure. But you got to think about the entirety of the trip. You know, let's just go home, get some rest. We got more partying to do. You know, JD5, we got more parties to hit up. So let's just rest up and we'll be all right in the long term.
Thanks. Appreciate you, buddy.
So I view this thing as a marathon. And if you feel like over the course of these 4 months, you can get to the requisite number of wins to make the playoffs, the bar being 10, you know, 11, 12 gets you there pretty comfortably. I think you have to, while every game is so important in this league, they're so precious, you've got to have the long view. I know you're even talking about longer term. You're talking about career. You're talking about next year and the year after. I just mean for this season, though, to get where you want to go, a 1-2 start is not the end of the world because you have the hay in the barn with that Giants game. If you were 0-2, I would understand a little bit more of the urgency, but split these next two. And he might even be ready and fully going on the practice field by the end of next week for Atlanta. And so it's really one game. If that's the case and it's 1-2, it's a got to have it game maybe on the road against the Falcons. They look like crap offensively again last night. That's just an okay team.
But it's a team you might be expected to compete with for a wild card spot, absolutely, depending on the division. Yeah.
So I understand that. But to your point, though, even like my logic of thinking this year, playoffs, NFC playoff picture, it has to come second with this player, not with every player. Okay. Not maybe with Josh Connerly at right tackle or your inside linebacking position with Bobby Wagner. Mm-hmm. But with this player, everything should be about how do we make sure over the next 10 years, Jaden Daniels is the best version of himself? And you work back from that.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, that means it's overstated to say he's got to be 100%. I know that sounds like an easy thing, but like there's a straw man where it's got to be 100%, 95, 90, no. No one's 100% in football.
Right, and so it's with the grit, with that grain of salt. I know exactly what you're trying to say.
There's a hurdle you got to clear.
Yeah.
And the hurdle is, are you hurt? Injured and hurt are different.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hurt? And right now he is both injured and hurt. And by the end of this week, if it's just hurt, if he could take the Toradol shot, and he could take the anti-inflammatory, and he could not really feel a lot of pain, and he can go out there and not be noticeably limping. I don't think that's this weekend, by the way. I think that'd be next weekend. I still say to you, not worth it, buddy.
Right.
You've got to be Jaden Daniels without the help of any medicine until we get you back on the field. Sorry. And if you want to yell at me and say, oh, 2012's in your head, you're right.
Yes, it is.
And I won't apologize for that.
Yeah, seriously. Again, you live through it, and you either take a lesson from it or you don't. I mean, there's some sort of adage about those who don't know history and being doomed to repeat it anyway. But, to me, this one's pretty clear. Again, because it's a knee, right? I mean, it's basically, we've done this a couple times in this town, if you recall. Two teams handled something really, really differently when they were faced with something fairly similar. Now, one was planned and one wasn't. But the Strasburg shutdown happened and the Robert Griffin shutdown did not happen. And one guy went on to pitch and win a World Series and an MVP and all that other stuff. And the other guy's career was never the same. Now, again, I know Strasburg ended up with a ton of injuries and I know how the story ended. But the process is what you should be focused on here. The point is, what do you want out of this? What's more important to you? This weekend, getting that big W against the Raiders, or that player that can be a difference maker, a true franchise altering presence at his best for a long time? And that to me is not even a consider. It's there's no balance sheet here. This is so obvious to me that I don't know. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills if anybody's thinking, hey, just if you can wrap it up, let's go.
Josh is in Odenton on the fan. What's up, Josh? How are you?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Yeah. Fit him, Mariota is perfectly capable, but keep the information close to the vest. Make the Raiders plan for the possibility of having to play Jaden, and whatever the time is that they have to announce it, I don't know what time it is on Sunday, 12:50 or something, they're playing Mariota. Like, do this smart.
I appreciate that, and that's the point I wanted to bring up a second ago. Now, there are certain rules where you have to declare, if a guy's not practicing, you declare him doubtful or out or whatever. I mean, you're bound by the rules. Go by those, no problem. But there's the whole point of spending up and having a backup quarterback like Marcus Mariota for short-term fixes. This is why he's here, right? It's why you didn't just go, let's go get Jeff Driscoll or let Sam Hartman do it or some, drafted kid that we have no idea if he can play or not. you've got a guy that you know in short samples has done really well for you.
This is why you invest in the position.
This is why you invest in the position, especially, again, with a young starter. You may not be able to do that if you've got to pay Pat Mahomes $60 million. You may not have a great experience backup that you're willing to spend that much money on. You may just have to go with a whatever. Well, this is why one of the luxuries you can afford when you've got a young quarterback.
So looking at last year, just as a reminder of kind of how things went when Marcus Mariota played, and I do think the definition in so many ways of a backup in this league is when pushed into duty in the short term, these guys can have some success. And off the bench, it's almost like a starter out of the bullpen for an inning at max capacity, max effort.
Yeah.
Your fastball velocity plays up, your slider, your sharper, your breaking stuff is better, right? In Mariota's case, he played in the Cleveland game for like a couple snaps and a blowout. I don't count that. It was one drive. It was a couple throws. But in the Carolina game, if you remember, when Jaden broke his rib, that was the first drive of that game. It was certainly in the first quarter. The line for Mariota against the Panthers ended up being 18 of 23 for 205 yards and two touchdowns in that game.
He a couple scrambles in there. Was
phenomenal.
Good. Yeah, he was really good.
And he ran, to your point. He played against the Cowboys in a game where for a half they did nothing. Then they sat Jaden because they were resting up for the playoffs. And I think they had scored 7 points when he came in. He went 15 of 18 for 161 with two touchdowns. And he had a 30-yard run in there, too. He had an awesome, awesome game. That's the two times we've seen him play any real football with Cliff Kingsbury in this offense. Now, their offense was humming in a way last year that it isn't now. I don't think he's going to be the fix. I don't think he gets out there and all of a sudden, as a lesser talented player version of Jaden Daniels, all of a sudden they take flight, right? It's not as good a situation right now as it was in those games when everything was working. But he has played well enough that I think you shouldn't make panicked decisions. We've already talked about the first part of this is you can't do that anyway because this player is too important. But in a world where you're going to push him and try to rush him or fight through it with him, so to speak, because you don't have a better option. All Marcus Mariota's done when he's gotten a chance to play is play really, really well. The point where he got some interest this offseason and called some teams about starting,
yep.
Having a chance to go compete for a job. Let's go to Zeke in Southeast on G&D. What's up, Zeke?
Hey, guys, what's up? Can you catch a cold through the radio? Because, man, I've been drinking tea and lemon all weekend, man.
Dude, take your those delicious vitamin gummies that have vitamin C in them? You know the ones I'm talking about?
Oh, I've been doing those.
Yeah, it's the like Zycam or whatever.
Yeah.
Do that. Do it all.
Okay.
This thing's going around. It sucks.
Great. I'm about to pop some more DayQuil.
It is.
Yeah.
I got it all weekend. But, yeah, no, I was RG3. Hey, definitely got to consider that, man, because when he came back in the game, I was like, why are they playing this guy? He, his most of your skills is running. And I think if we don't sit JD for at least 2 weeks, I think we're going to regret it because he's more valuable for us in the long term. So let him get back to where he is 100%. That's my take on it because I have flashes of RG3, man. I'm telling you.
We lived through it, dude. Yeah.
I want to play the clip in a minute. I just emailed it to you of Logan Paulson on Take Command today talking about the Daniels injury and the idea of how quickly guys can come back in this era with training staff and medicine. Mark's in Largo. What's up, Margo? Margo.
Hey,
I just gave you a new name.
Hey, Grant. I hope you feel better, my brother, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Look, I told the screen, I'm going to say this to you. Look, don't pay those people any mind that's messing with you on X about you breaking the story and stuff. You're just doing your job. You love this team more than anybody. And you know how I feel about that with you. So
I don't go on. I'll be honest. I appreciate the comment. I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't fall.
But no. Okay. All right.
Yeah, Mark, you're right. Just tell him not to look.
Okay. That's good. Look.
Yeah.
I actually think Marcus Mariota is going to cause Cliff to change his game up. And Danny, back me up on this, man. Okay. Right now, we've seen what happened to Jaden. The other person who I'm extremely concerned with right now, and Grant, you're going to agree with me too, Josh Connelly is really – what is the confidence level of him right now? And it's not his fault. It's not his fault.
I agree.
Okay?
Yeah.
You are – the best way to deal with the Raiders and to deal with Atlanta and to deal with everybody else on the rest of the schedule, you got to run the ball 20 to 25 times. You got Bill, you got Rodriguez, you got the kid, McNichols. Run these guys 20 to 25 times and then work in the passing game. That way, you're building up Josh's confidence. Josh Connelly right now, his confidence has got to be shot the first two games.
Well, because and now you got Max Crosby, Mark.
Yeah, Mark, thank you, buddy.
Cut you off, buddy. Thank you.
Good call, pal.
Now you got Max Crosby coming to town.
Yeah,
so it's been Burns, who had almost 70 pressures last season. Then you had Micah Parsons, who had almost 70 in the game. He had 8 pressures by himself.
Yeah.
And now you got Max Crosby. Good luck, young man.
Seriously, get tested.
I would consider Wiley. In fact, I want to talk to you about that later in the show.
That was going
to
be one of the leading things had not Jaden Daniels ended up on the our sort of injury discussion here. But what to do about Connerly? That long term, 100%, I'm with Mark. He's the answer. He's going to be really, really good. This is as tough a first 3 weeks as you're going to find for any player in the NFL, period, end of story. But also, what do you do about it?
Dan Quinn's going to be talking about Jaden Daniels coming up at 3:30, so we got to get ready for that. But this is what I wanted to reference. Logan Paulson on Take Command talking about players trying to recover from injuries in light of the Jaden Daniels news.
Well, that's totally reasonable to let that past experience inform this current situation. But also, like, what is the injury? How's the athlete handling the pain or the discomfort of the injury? Like, does it hamper him? Does it hinder him? Maybe, like, I've played with dudes who had, like, crazy bone bruises, and it showed up on the MRI, and they're like, you're going to miss 3 weeks. And they'll practice in 2 days, and it doesn't really bother them as much as the doctor thinks it should, and they're ready to go, and they look great. And again, it's different for different positions. Like, offensive linemen will play with pretty much anything, but receivers, because they're kind of these fine-tuned machines, it becomes a little bit more impactful. So, again, I think as we get more information about the injury, like, we can kind of assess, like, what's going on here. But really, like, some of the best trainers I ever had were like, how do you feel? How do you feel about what's going on? You know, like, what's going on with the knee or the ankle or whatever? Then you can run. We'll go watch you run. We'll go watch you do your drops. Does it bother you? The answer is no. Okay, we'll do a little bit more tomorrow and see how it goes. So I think that's it's a fluid situation. We'll see what happens. And with him, because of how much efficiency he gets out of, like, walkthroughs and the VR stuff, I'd probably be okay if he didn't practice a ton and you still played in the game.
That's Logan Paulson from Take Command, the podcast I do with him 3 times a week.
Tashawn Reed is another new reporter covering the team at the Washington Post. He will join us at 11 a.m. He recently covered the Raiders for The Athletic. Also at 12 today, Frank Schwab will jump on with us to talk NFL. Preston Smith is back in a Washington uniform, signed today as Jonathan Jones went on the injured reserve. The toll from Thursday night's game was significant. Eckler, Wise, and now Jonathan Jones, done. Preston Smith back. He was not signed in the offseason after being released by the Steelers very early in 2025. If you recall, the Packers traded Preston Smith to the Steelers last year at the trade deadline. Smith was not a good fit for the 4-3 base defense in Green Bay that Halfley, the new defensive coordinator last year, brought in, and he went to Pittsburgh. Well, now he's in Washington, where their base defense is primarily a 4-3. We'll see how it works out, but Preston Smith back in town. Remember, this is the team that drafted Preston Smith all the way back in 2015 in the second round. This from Richie to open up the show. Kevin, the push-pull rule got changed in 2005, not just a few years ago. I understand that pushing runners was against the rules for most of our viewing days, but you exaggerated the newness of the rule change, just an FYI. Yeah, Richie, thank you for that. You are correct. And I did go look it up after you sent it to me. I didn't really intend to exaggerate it. I just didn't know the exact answer. And I thought it was in the ballpark when I said it was, 7 or 8 years ago rather than being 20 years ago. Bottom line, though, is when I hear people say, well, you know, what they're doing, it's not against the rules. Well, they're right. But it was against the rules for 85 years of NFL football. My point being, it's not like it's crazy to make pushing or pulling a ball carrier against the rules. It was the rule for most of the NFL's existence. And I think there's a really good chance that it becomes a rule again next year. By the way, the Chiefs and the Eagles on Sunday. How about this as a television audience? Fox put this out yesterday. It averaged 33.8 million viewers. It was Fox's best ever regular season Sunday telecast. It was the most watched NFL Week 2 telecast on record and the most watched September-October game ever. Yeah, so the tush push is not making people turn away. And I said that. I said that I don't think the television ratings are going to be any less. But if we saw this every single week in Philadelphia's big highlighted games, you will get the angst, you will get the frustration, and the long-term effect of that, who knows? I do think they're going to do something about it. I really do. This from Eric. Eric writes, Kevin, help me if I've misunderstood you. You made the point that Jaden needs to take less hits, but claim Kliff doesn't need to change the offense. Simultaneously, you've said Jaden, being the competitor he is unlikely to protect himself, especially when the game is on the line. So what's the answer? I don't understand why we couldn't see Jaden line up under center a bit more and get our one-cut wonder rookie running back going. Even better, where's our 225-pound sledgehammer? Anyone see C-Rod lately? Where the caveman? Where's the caveman Rick Doc Walker when you need him? I can't argue that Kliff's offense was dynamic with Jaden last year, but what good is this offense if the franchise quarterback is at risk, beat up, and injured? Sincerely, 12-man personnel guy. Thanks for that, Eric. So I want to just want to make. I think it's an observation. It's not answering Eric's email. I'll get to that in a moment. I want to emphasize something about last Thursday night that I've emphasized all week long going back to Friday. But I think that it has lent a level of urgency to this conversation about Jaden that is much higher than if he just got hurt in a game in which he played well and the offense played well and they won by two touchdowns. Because what happened last Thursday night is not going to happen a lot to this team. I mean, I don't believe in this blueprint. You know, this, well, they've figured him out. He's C.J. Stroud. They've got an answer. The Packers had an answer. But I think we are going to find out that the Packers might be different. You know, the Packers might be the Eagles of last year defensively. By the way, the Eagles might be the Eagles defensively from last year. So far, early in this season, we've seen some outstanding defenses in the first 2 weeks. You know, often people will say, well, offense is ahead of defense because defense, you know, they haven't tackled, they haven't hit anybody, you know, early in the season. We've seen some really good defense. Now, week two was the highest scoring week two in many, many years. Understood, week one, much different than that. But we've seen some really good defensive teams. The Packers, for sure. The Eagles, for sure. Tampa, I think, is really good defensively. San Francisco looks to be really good defensively. The Rams appear to be very good defensively. By the way, I just mentioned teams in the NFC. I haven't gotten to the AFC yet, where the Chargers appear to be very good defensively. Washington is going there in a few weeks. And then, by the way, you know who's been really good on defense after being one of the worst defenses in the league last year? Cincinnati's been really good defensively. Cleveland is really good defensively. By the way, I didn't add Atlanta in the NFC. Very good defensive team. But can they do what Green Bay did? Philly might be able to do it. They might. But I think that the point about the urgency about this conversation, Jaden being hurt, and talking about, well, you can't put him at risk. He's got to minimize the times he's been hit, which I totally agree with, and we talked about that yesterday. I think the sense of this conversation being super urgent is also partly because of what it looked like last Thursday night. They got beat by a team that just has freaks. Freaks. So does Philadelphia. So we got to play them twice. And they're playing the Chargers in a few weeks. So there will be other really good defensive teams on the schedule. But Green Bay and Philly are different. And I don't know that any sort of, you know, solution has been created to slow down Jaden Daniels in Washington's offense. Keeping him off the field, Will, if he's hurt, no doubt. Now, let me get back to the point of Eric's email. So, yes, I want him to protect himself more. And no, I don't want the offense to change. We went through some of these yesterday, but I'll just go through the list. For me, I think Paulie brought up a great point. First of all, minimizing how many times Jaden gets hit can start with, if you're in a game that is essentially over, whether you're winning by a lot or losing by a lot. And the context is, man, it's been a physical game. Jaden's taken kind of a beating. We really, you know, in the scenario in which you're getting beat badly, like Thursday night, you can't protect him. Let's protect him. Let's not have him continue to drop back and run and take hits in the pocket and outside of the pocket. That game was 27-10. It felt like it was 42-10. It really did. And the idea that Washington was going to come back and win that game one out of 100 times, maybe. Okay, maybe one out of 50 times. It'll happen. You know, but the larger big picture was, why subject your quarterback to another quarter or another two to three drives, another, you know, 12, 13, 14 plays of hits or potential hits? So that's number one. You know, they could minimize the number of times he gets hit by not having him in position to get hit in games that are over at the end. And by the way, nobody thinks about winning the game down to more than two scores with 10 minutes to go in the game more than I do. I never want them to give it up. You know, in a 45-28 game, let's say they were down 45-28 in that game, and both teams can't stop each other, and Jaden's having a big night, you know, then he's staying in there. Let's go get another one, make it 45-35, and see what happens. But that was not the context of Thursday night. He was taking a beating, probably the worst of his career, and they couldn't do anything about it with protection, and they didn't choose to do anything about it with play calling. So that's number one. You could minimize the number of hits Jaden takes by pulling him from that kind of a game, or, you know, proceeding more conservatively, running the ball, handing it off, throwing quick, you know, quick outs, quick bubble screens. And if you got a punt, you got a punt. Number two is certainly a running game and more balance would be protective of Jaden. Now, not every Sunday is going to call for that kind of game plan. You know, every Sunday is a different, you know, opponent and a different way to move the football. I hate the, you know, the idea of, oh, you got to be balanced. No, you got to move the football. You got to stay on the field. You got to minimize the number of times you punt, and you got to try to score and keep the football. All right. So if that's throwing it a lot more than running it, that's fine. If it's running it a lot more than throwing it, that's fine. If it's balance, that's fine. We've seen in NFL football over especially the last 10 years, there are lots of ways to score, move the football, and possess the football. But, you know, in certain games, like on Thursday night, the play calling could have been a bit more protective. Having 48 pass plays called and only 12 run plays called to the running backs put Jaden at more risk. Now, calling plays and suggesting how the professionals call plays is really kind of silly from this seat or from your seat. But play calling can be protective, you know, going of a quarterback who you're having a difficult time protecting. Personnel can be protective of the quarterback. They went out, they spent for in a trade, Laremy Tunsil. That was an investment in the protection of their young franchise quarterback. They drafted in the first round a tackle that was an investment, future investment in the protection of the quarterback. But, you know, right now, Josh Connerly is not protecting the quarterback. Let's see if they make a change to protect their quarterback more. So personnel, scheme, play calling, that's all, you know, pulling him from games or getting more conservative in games that are over and not exposing him, subjecting him to the hits that he had on Thursday night. I understand that people say it's football. You know, they're out there playing football. Yeah, but we know how he plays football. And so there is a level of, yeah, we don't want you to get hit a bunch over the final 7 minutes of this game where it's 27-10 and we can't protect you. And we're probably not going to win this game. I mean, last year's opener against Tampa Bay was egregious. And Kingsbury fessed up to it. You know, it was his first game as a coordinator. He was the play caller for Arizona as a head coach. And at 37-13 in the fourth quarter, they're running zone reads, by the way, on a condensed field down by the goal line, and Jaden's taking a pounding. That was silly. You can't do that stuff. So that's where the team, the coaching staff, can protect the quarterback. But the rest of it is really on him. You know, scrambles, first and 10, first quarter, scoreless game. Instead of getting 9, how about we get 6 and get out of bounds? You know, quarterback draw, first and 10, you know, early second quarter, 7-7 game. Let's get 8 and slide rather than, you know, taking on 2 tacklers and trying to get a first down. We'll take 2nd and 2. That's fine. Now, 4th and 5, late fourth quarter, down by 6. He's got to go for it. Same thing. You know, whether it is scrambling, quarterback draws, zone reads, doesn't matter. Now, the back to the coaching staff, I do think, and I've said this going back to the Tampa opener last year, I just think that there's certain plays where, you know, they'd like him to be Josh Allen running quarterback counter, quarterback power, or Lamar Jackson or Cam Newton. That's not who he really is from a body type standpoint. Why subject him to being tackled? You know, he's going to get tackled in the field of play more times than not on those called plays. How about minimizing those? So there are ways to keep the offense what it is, but to protect him, if you're the coaching staff, minimize the number of times gets hit, and for Jaden to do the same. And he's got to do the same. Now, as far as under center and, you know, where's the sledgehammer and where's the one-cut rookie running back wonder, yeah, I'm with you, but not every game plan do they feel like they can line him up under center and run, you know, zone runs and boots and play action. It's not really the offense. It's not the Shanahan offense. He goes under center very seldomly. But yeah, would I like to, I think he could be great in that offense, but that's not the offense. I'm not barking about the offense at all. I just think that as the most hit quarterback, the quarterback that has had more contact in 2024 and more contact in the first 2 weeks of this season, there's got to be, you know, an answer here somewhere to minimize it somewhat. And I think that there are some answers there. Anyway, yeah, and I do think we are hyper sensitive to this right now because of the beating they took Thursday night. And that was a beating by a team that beat down Detroit and Washington with a freakish defense. You'll hear Steve Suter, I'll have that, I think, on tomorrow's show, break down the defensive side of the ball. Yes, a lot of you really enjoyed Steve. So did I. I think he was really, really good. So I asked this question yesterday, but we didn't open it up for calls. But here we are 2 weeks into the season. 2 weeks ago, we were making predictions for the NFL season. You know, what was Washington's record going to be? What were they going to do in the postseason? I had a pretty optimistic view of the season, which is unusual, although it's 2 years in a row. I thought that they could win 11 games, and I thought that they would be a team that could and would, because I predicted it, represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. Max had the same. Max had them winning the Super Bowl. I had them losing the Super Bowl to Kansas City. the Chiefs are 0-2. Doesn't mean they're dead yet, but man, they look a little bit limited offensively without receivers. Xavier Worthy down, Rashee Rice suspended. They're in a bit of trouble offensively. They play the Giants Sunday night. That game could be an interesting game. Like, the Giants are good on defense. I don't know what we saw Sunday, this unbelievable performance by Russell Wilson. It was an unbelievable performance. It was out of nowhere. But what if Kansas City went to MetLife Sunday night and lost to the Giants? They are 6-point favorites in the game. They are also a heavy, heavy early public betting favorite in that game. So 2 weeks ago, there we were, you know, making all of these predictions. So what I want to know is where you were 2 weeks ago and where you are today. It's not just 1-1. It was, you know, not the most impressive win in the opener against the Giants, 21-6. We were ginned up about the defense, or many of you were, after one game. Offensively, they were a few plays away from it looking a lot different. Like, if he connects with Terry on that deep ball, there were a lot of, you know, penalties and a lot of drops and a lot of sloppiness. But Jaden was still pretty good in the game. And, you know, it was one game, but then came last Thursday night, you know, 4 days and a night later, and they got absolutely beat into submission. The final score, we'll look back years on it and probably forget how one-sided this game was. But it was alarming how far away, at least last Thursday night, our team was from the Green Bay Packers. And there was already one juggernaut in the NFC, and now there may be two. And I would suggest to you that the Rams, as long as Matt Stafford stays healthy, might be three. It's very possible that they're another one. And it's early. I mean, Detroit bounced back. They're still, you know, certainly capable offensively. The 49ers look like the real deal on defense. They've just got to stay healthy. The NFC we knew was loaded going into this year. It might be even deeper than we thought, because Tampa, Max loved them, the Bucs, from the beginning. Tampa could be really good. Atlanta could be majorly improved. And I don't know what to make of, say, Arizona at this point. I would tell you, though, that the Packers and the Eagles look like heavyweights. The Rams might be there as well in the NFC. In the AFC, I think you'd point to Buffalo, and you'd point to still Baltimore, because it was 41-40 in that game. The Ravens have scored 40-plus in both of their games, 40 in the loss to Buffalo, 41 in the win over Cleveland. But the NFC is deeper and has some really good teams. So the question is, for you to answer, is tell me where you were 2 weeks ago, and have you changed? Have you come off that prediction one way or the other? Maybe you made a prediction that said you thought this is exactly what you were going to see, and that's fine too. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I was at 11-6 and NFC champions this year. Have I changed where I think they are after two games? I'll have my answer. Max will have his answer, because he was very optimistic about this season as well. Phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. Where were you 2 weeks ago? And after two games, where are you now in terms of what kind of season Washington is going to have? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. Remember, you can watch us on our Team 980 YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button and hit the like button when you get there.
Affecting the Commanders heading into week three. First and foremost, Jaden Daniels' sprained knee. We've been talking about that for about the last 35, 40 minutes. It's a big topic of conversation, obviously, if Jaden isn't able to play in the third game of the season. Marcus Mariota, you're on deck. We hope you're ready.
If it's a binary choice, I think all of us are on the same side, right? You don't change his style of play.
I wouldn't.
No.
I wouldn't either.
No.
I would tweak maybe some things, and obviously try and help him with a better line, which they've tried to do.
That certainly helps.
And maybe I don't call as many design runs from JD. That would be the tweaking.
And if you're Cliff, if you feel like he's not getting rid of the ball quick enough, you just got to keep drilling it into his head. Like, if you make two or three reads, nobody's there, throw the ball away.
Right.
Or if it's safe, pick up the first down.
But also
run for a few yards.
And we don't, I don't watch the film, and I don't think you guys do either, but if guys aren't open, if wide receivers aren't open, mm-hmm. that's an issue.
Well, certainly.
You know what I mean? Terry McLaurin's got to get open.
Right.
Debo's got to get open. Noah Brown's not going to be around this week, but, Jalen's got to get open.
And I tell you what, it may not.
Zach's got to get open.
They may not be as good a team, and he may not have as much help, but, some of you stayed up and watched the Raiders, right? And you've seen Max Crosby's get off before?
Sure.
It's insane. It's right there.
That's
with
why he's
Micah.
One of the best in the league.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Well, that's why he got paid. He's one of the highest paid defensive players in the league.
This is going to be a tough challenge. As mediocre as the Raiders may be, they've got another one of those guys.
And I don't expect Geno to come in and just throw three picks again, like in back-to-back weeks.
They're going to
be better than he was.
They know they got to play better.
Last night.
All right, let's bang out a bunch of these calls. A lot of people want to chime in on it. It's obviously going to be an issue, probably, that kind of follows Jaden throughout his career, is how he handles himself as a passer and a runner, protects himself. He's got that slighter frame. He can do all the bulking up he wants in the offseason. It is what it is, right? He's not going to turn into Josh Allen. He's not going to turn into a tank.
No. He can only add so much weight to that frame.
All right. Well, think about Dak Prescott, who's a much bigger, thicker guy, and think about how many games he's missed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, his isn't always about hits, but almost every year, it seems like Dak Prescott misses games.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brutal sport.
Yeah.
And when you're built, Jaden's as skinny as your daughter, JP. When you're built like that, you're going to get hit hard, and it's going to hurt more, and you're going to sustain more injuries.
All right, let's go to Joe in Manassas. Joe, what's up, buddy? You're over the Junkies.
Hey, what's up, Junkies? Love the show, as always.
I
agree with what you got.
As always.
Yeah, as always, baby. And I agree with you guys. You're not going to change Jaden the way he plays the game. There just seems to be things that are being emphasized. Like, man, like you said, EB, he's not Josh Allen. You're not the biggest guy in the world. Like, get your yardage, get down. And like you said, Lamar Jackson kind of, I don't know, like, we were talking about that flag football stuff. You know how he's got that little bit of wiggle? I see it in Jaden a little bit, but Lamar Jackson, just like you said, Bish, he gets out of the way. He gets down. He never takes the direct hit. I think Jaden needs just to work on that a little bit. Don't take the run away, but just a little more wiggle. Get down faster. Just be smarter about that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Lamar's just better at it. Doesn't he have a famous clip? I think it's from high school where he's juking guys and he gets right to the end zone and he just stops on a dime. You know the clip I'm talking about?
Right.
Lamar
That's him in high school.
I know, but my point is.
He's such a superior athlete to everybody else on the field.
Yeah, but my point is, Lamar's a little bit better at it, at avoiding the hits. Mm-hmm. He just is.
He's also a little bit thicker. Not that it would necessarily affect when they hit you directly on the knee like that. But. All right, let's go to, let me see here. Let's go to Mike in Chesapeake. Mike, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Jucks.
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
Hey, good.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, the coaches got to coach better. Dallas and them, when Dan Quinn with Dallas, they the one drafted Michael Parsons. They should know how to figure out how to block him or put a tight end in the backfield to help block him or something.
Well, send that memo to every team because he's pretty much the same when he's facing every other team besides the Commanders.
Although he does have his best career stats against us.
Yeah. So did Daniel Jones for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
Right. They can't get a 300-pound lineman to block a 245-pound man. That's a problem anyway.
Well, did you see how he set him up?
He's pretty special.
He took a quick step to the left and then went to the inside.
Yeah, he's pretty special. Let's go.
And he's going against a rookie for a lot of those snaps. Who, as EB pointed out earlier in the show, if you were listening, is rated last on the team in PFF grades.
Yeah, that's not last that's on the offensive line. That's last on the whole offense.
The team.
Yeah.
That's not a good
sign. Well, I haven't looked at the defense. I can't compare it to defense.
Offense,
yeah. CJ, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Great show, man.
Thanks, bud.
What's up, CJ?
I mean, my deal with the situation is with Jaden, obviously you can't change how he played. The bottom line to it is that he has to where to throw the damn ball. When you're watching the game, and you're just watching from a fan's view, there's not a lot of options of where to get the ball. And when Jaden got hurt, he's escaping the pocket within the pocket trying to climb vertically. He got ran down from the side. Mm-hmm. The thing is with your line, playing so lackluster, and it's been that since he got here. Mm-hmm. Last year, he was just able to overcompensate and make people's wrongs right. This year, people have kind of gotten caught up to it, and our receivers, again, don't get a lot of separation. That's why when we were going through this thing with Terry and people kept talking about contested catch rate and all, it's contested catch rate because he doesn't get a lot of separation a lot of times.
Right.
This year,
that's a point. It's a good point.
And this year, teams are actually hip to what we do schematically.
Right.
So there's complicating it. So I think the whole scheme has to adjust to help them out.
Yeah. Again, if they protect better, if they execute better, he won't have to frantically take off and run and expose himself as much.
Well, that's what they're going to try and do that.
Yeah.
But again,
thanks for the call. Thank you, CJ.
Again, it's going to happen. I mean, you're going to face defenses that are just going to get pressure
on you. I'm stealing this from John Kime, but this is a great stat that shows the disconnect right now between Jaden and Terry. And people expected this because Terry missed training camp. He missed the preseason. When he targeted Terry last year, he had a passer rating of 89.4 and a completion percentage of 67%.
Okay.
Through two games, those numbers are 48.4 and a 53.8% completion percentage.
Yeah.
Like that connection that he relied on heavily last year is not there, or it's there to a much lesser degree. That has to improve.
Is that on Terry? Is it on Jaden? I'm saying that's on Terry.
It's probably more on Terry because he didn't have the time to work on the rapport.
All right. Well, Terry,
in the preseason.
Terry has to play like a $30 million receiver starting this week.
Wholeheartedly agree.
Starting this week. All right. He's been back in camp.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, back at Ashburn for a few weeks. He's been practicing every day. It's got to start this week.
Having some of that old Terry back would take some of the pressure off of Jaden. That's if Jaden even plays, which I don't think he's going to play.
All right, let's go to Little and Bowie. Little, what's up? Going with the Junks.
Junks, thank you for taking my call, man. Look, let's look at the big picture, man. First 10 possessions, man. First down, we pass on every first down. Come on, man. Bill had 4 carries, 17 yards. In my math, that's 4 yards a clip. No running back had back-to-back carries.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you're going to get this kid hurt, man. But when you go into a game and you don't establish the run or you don't attempt to try to run, King first started the game off trying to be pretty. The defense inhaled your passiveness, man. That's where the game was lost, at the play call. I asked JP and I asked Kingsbury. Man, look, get out of your head, man, and realize that your lineman is sucking wind when they keep backpedaling. They absorb their wind when they go forward. Come on, man. I only play high school football, gentlemen. And I know that.
I don't think you're correct, by the way, on the second drive, on the Commanders' second drive, they ran on first down. They lost a yard.
No, man. I mean, look, I watched the game. And I'm a season ticket.
I'm looking at the play-by-play.
How many times did they run on first down?
I mean, I'd have to go through it, but I just looked at the first two drives.
Probably not a lot, because when they were down a couple touchdowns, they got to start passing.
Every first down, this dude passed the ball, man, for 10 possessions.
This is not factually correct.
All right, maybe the majority.
It's in his brain. His brain is replaying it.
Little, you just listen. Keep listening. And let Ben or somebody go through the box, and we'll figure it out.
We'll chart all the first downs for you, man. Don't even sweat it.
Then we finally got field position, gentlemen, on the 50-yard line. He passed again on first down. My thing is, man, now near running back got back-to-back carries, man.
Thank you, Little. Yeah, thank you, buddy.
Listen,
I think there is something to be said for
he
that.
He wants to give it to Bill a little bit more.
Something to be said
and
for
I think
that.
They will.
When you're going against a great pass rush, you got to run the ball.
I think, especially if Mariota starts, you're going to see.
Yeah,
you're definitely going to see a heavier dose of Bill.
And Chris Rodriguez.
You're going to see more Debo, I think, rushing the ball, too.
There hasn't
been a lot of that.
Maybe two or three times.
You're going to see them lean into that a little more.
I've looked at multiple drives. The second drive that they had, they ran it on first down, lost a yard.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they were down 14-3, they get the kickoff, first down, run to Bill for 5 yards. They maybe didn't do it the majority of the time, but they certainly did sometimes. The problem was, and I've said this over and over again, they weren't converting on third down, so the drives weren't extended. So it was hard to keep running the football when you're having to punt.
I just...
All right, so I'm looking. I'm gonna go possession by possession, starting from the third possession. Pass, first one. Fourth possession, run. Okay,
so that's 50-50 at that point.
Fifth possession, run. Okay, on first down. Sixth possession, run on first down. All right, I'm just
so that's 75% now.
All right, seventh possession, pass. All right, eighth possession, pass.
So now it's 50-50.
This is when they're down, too, by the way.
Right.
Next possession, run. Okay. Next possession, pass.
50-50 again, if my math is correct.
Next possession, pass.
Look,
so maybe one more pass than run.
Maybe I'm crazy. I'm going to trust Cliff Kingsbury. Little. He's done this for a living.
And not Little?
For many, many years.
Is that his name?
I love Little. I'm glad he listens and calls in. I'm going to put my trust in Cliff Kingsbury.
I still think Cliff could have
been
better.
Crazy, I know.
I don't think Cliff was all in his bag. I think he lost his bag a little bit, to be honest with you.
Well, I think
a lot of sideways stuff.
His bag also had a hard time facing up against the Packers defense.
Yeah.
The sideways stuff.
I don't think no matter what he did in his bag, he didn't have an answer for that defense.
I don't have the percentages in front of me, but the sideways stuff was a big part of their offense last year. And they were super successful with the wide receiver screens. Think of how many times Zacchaeus benefited from short passes to get blocked. Think of how many times Terry McLaurin, I mean, he made house calls on wide receiver screens. He did it against
I'm
the Lions
saying
in the playoffs.
Eliminate it, but you can't. There's too much of
the,
it.
The Packers, too much of it. No, but the Packers, at least through two games, they fly around towards the ball defensively.
They're fast.
As good as anybody in the league right now.
They're fast.
They're fast. They're the youngest team in the league. Besides Micah Parsons and Gary, maybe they don't have big names on defense, but that defense is legit.
All right, let's go to D, Capitol Heights. D, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, good morning, Junkies. Love the show. Appreciate you for giving me the call.
Sure.
I think one thing a lot of people really just underestimate every single time, this Green Bay Packers defense is probably going to end up being top five defense by the end of the year, right?
Yep.
We're not running against the scrubs that we ran against in week one, to be realistic about it. So we're not going to put up as much offense. I do think that one big problem that I saw with Jaden, he has to be able to get rid of the ball, and that's on the longevity, that's on yardage loss, and that's on making it third and manageable every time in comparison to we're running third and 14, third and 15, and trying to draw up a trick play with Deebo Samuels like he's Superman, you know what I mean? The last thing I got to say is we just need to get a kicker at some point in our life. I know we haven't had a good kicker for 30 years, but at some point we're going to get it.
I think it's going to hurt us. Yeah. All right. Thank you, D. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Go look
buddy.
At the Notre Dame soccer roster like the Cowboys did.
I mean, he's okay inside 50, right?
Inside 50.
You just can't trust him outside of 50.
Yeah.
Let's go to Andre in Alexandria. Yeah, but we're in an era where guys are hitting 65 yarders.
I understand.
Not Matt Gay. He's not one of those guys.
Andre, take us off Bluetooth, buddy.
All right, let's go to Kevin and Waldorf. Kevin, what's up?
Hey, Kevin. Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Yeah, I'm the second time called, maybe third. My issue is this. You got the oldest team in the NFL playing the youngest team in the NFL on a short week. The offensive line didn't pay great. The guy makes a couple of field goals. The game is a lot closer. We hung in there. But at the same time, Jaden needs to run as he's digging into a drive and get the ball moving. When he's taking off, going straight up the middle, and these guys are fresh, it's a problem. We're not going to play the Green Bay Packers every week, guys. We're just not. Thank you for my call.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. Appreciate it, buddy.
No, you're not, but if you're going to get to the playoffs, you're going to play some really good teams.
Yeah, you're going
to
play defenses.
You might play the Packers again.
Right.
You got to be more prepared if you have to face them in the postseason than you were in week two.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely. They have to look better against them if they face them again.
One thing to watch is I remember watching that game. The analysts kept talking about, and then if you watch, you know, some of these insiders that look at the All 22 and give you the film that you see on Twitter, is they were running kind of a shell defense to prevent everything. They did not want to let anybody go deep, right? Mm-hmm. Jaden didn't take hardly any deep shots. I remember him throwing one on the left sideline to Terry, which was out of bounds, I believe. Be interesting to see if that's kind of the defensive approach of all of these teams, which is going to maybe force Jaden to throw more short passes, you know, and just that intermediate pass versus some of the bigger plays that they, you know, you heard Dan Quinn earlier talk about explosive plays. Mm-hmm. Maybe these teams are going to take away some of those explosives and test his patience.
Well, he has good options if that's the case in Debo and Ertz, guys that can work the middle to underneath parts of the field. So if that's the case, but I agree with Quinn, you need to mix in some explosive plays along with the short and intermediate, which you've got guys that can handle that sort of assignment.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.